This is Daniel Fazina from Divine Intervention Radio, and you are listening to Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome to Do Not Keep Silent.
Speaking out the name of Jesus in action and word.
Encouraging and equipping.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
Do what it says. Do not keep silent.
Everyone, I'm interviewing Cal Beissner, and we're talking about Resisting the Green Dragon. It's a 12-part DVD series, and it is also a book written by James Wanless. Is that right? Wanless, okay. And I just, you know, we just got to know this gentleman, and we got to know this group, and I can tell you after talking to him, we're supporting this because this is just great. And there's also some quotes. You know what, if you wouldn't mind finding a couple of quotes let's go with some people that necessarily we don't agree with. What do they say about this?
Oh,
Fun stuff.
Yeah, when we released Resisting the Green Dragon, actually we were on Glenn Beck back on October 15. David Barton and I were both on Glenn Beck, and Glenn promoted this DVD series. Well, the left went bananas. And so they had some interesting things to say about us. The New York Times Green blog, for instance, said, an increasingly fierce backlash against the mingling of Christianity and environmentalism has emerged from some quarters of the evangelical movement. Leading the Christian counter-argument on the environment is the Cornwall Alliance, an evangelical nonprofit that strenuously opposes action on climate change and describes the environmental movement as a false religion that Christians must avoid at all costs. And the author there went on to say, this is all baloney. There's nothing religious about environmentalism. It's not really a threat to Christianity. The Huffington Post wrote, the hyperbolic accusations spewed through the video give it the appearance of a ridiculous parody. Unfortunately, the comical PSA is anything but a joke. You know, now, this is the kind of reaction that we got from the left-wing bloggers. But interestingly enough, Huffington Post later wound up publishing an article by Dr. Bron Taylor. Taylor is professor of religion and nature at University of Florida. He's also the author of the book Dark Green Religion, and the editor of the Encyclopedia of Religion and Nature. He is probably the world's leading scholar on the radical environmentalist movement. And this is what Taylor said. He said, progressives may ridicule, but Christian conservatives do have a reason to worry. They know that their cultural influence has been waning, and that those with evolutionary and ecological worldviews are growing in number and influence. A DVD series released by a group of conservative Christians entitled Resisting the Green Dragon provides one recent example of such fears. Now he says this. He says, these fears are based on an accurate perception that there is a religious dimension to much environmentalism. Those expressing such fears understand accurately that those engaged in nature-based spiritualities, both overtly and in subtle ways, are converting many to an evolutionary worldview and an environmentalist spirituality and ethics. Now, one of our great concerns is how the environmentalist movement is penetrating churches and intentionally targeting young people. So imagine my thoughts when I read Taylor's last line. Here it is. He said, they know that this is one reason they are having trouble even keeping their own children in the fold. This is one of the world's leading scholars on this stuff. Now, as far as I know, he's not sympathetic to us, but he's honest enough to admit that the environmentalist movement is overwhelmingly characterized by religious ideas that are a direct attack on Christianity.
You know, I'm able to talk to, you know, people all over the world, and, you know, a lot of times atheists or people who, they just don't want to believe in Jesus, let's say, but they'll say, well, science has proven evolution, or they'll say what I call ridiculous things like that. I used to say stuff like that until I really researched it. Yeah. What would you say to somebody who says, well, I believe in science? And I don't believe in Christianity or a religion. I believe in science. How is that Well, how does that really not work?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you believe in science, you doggone well better believe in Christianity, because it's the Christian Tuist worldview that makes science possible. It is not a historical accident that science and the scientific method and technology developed in the Western Christianized world. For example, J.P. Moreland, one of the world's leading Christian philosophers, wrote an excellent book called Christianity and the Nature of Science, in which he chronicles how the Christian faith provided the rational worldview necessary to expect that we're going to get understandable responses from the physical world around us. If you're a oneist, you believe, for example, that there is no God, that the world is just nothing but matter and energy and motion. That's all there is. And everything happens simply as a matter of chance collision of atoms and molecules in space. Then you have no basis for thinking that there is reason in anything. As C.S. Lewis pointed out in his book Miracles, in the chapter on naturalism, naturalism, the belief that matter and energy is all there is really an argument that there is no such thing as argument. Now, that's self-refuting. If instead you are a pantheistic or a panentheistic naturalist, then still you're winding up saying that there's no difference between God and a rock. Well, we certainly know that a rock isn't rational. So you wind up with a non-rational sort of God. The God of Hinduism and Buddhism, the Brahman, is specifically said to be non-rational because rationality would require a knower and a known, which would be separation. But monism can't admit any sort of separation. Christianity says you have a rational God who creates an ordered universe, and because of that, we can bring an ordered approach to investigating that universe, and therefore we can have science. So, hey, I believe in science too, but I believe in a science that is possible only because the God of our Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of this universe and made our minds to reflect his mind so that we can understand the universe he's given us.
So what would you say to somebody then who says, yeah, but evolution's been proven? It's a proven fact.
Yeah. What I would say is he needs to do a whole lot of reading. But, you know, the real issue is probably not going to be dealt with well in terms of just looking at various empirical data, because everybody's got the same data. The fossils are there. You know, the geologic column is there. All of that stuff is out there. Nobody denies that it's out there. The question is, how do you understand it? And to get to that question, you have to answer philosophical issues. You have to start off again with, are you a oneist or are you a twoist? Do you recognize that God has spoken to us, or do you deny that God has spoken to us? Things of that sort. Do you recognize that there can be supernatural control of events in this world? You know, Darwin needed to come up with long ages for life to come about only because he recognized that it couldn't happen in the rapid time necessary for there to be a very short period for the Earth to have been around. You need that in order for evolution to happen by mutation through natural selection over vast periods of time. But if you have a wise creator who can design things and execute those designs through his power, you don't have to appeal to the miracle of, you know, fish to gish by chance over time, as Dwayne Gish used to say. Instead, you recognize that God can be in control. So the person who says, well, I believe in evolution, it's a scientifically proven fact, he needs to start with the philosophical matters, and there I would recommend a book by Philip Johnson called Reason in the Balance. And it is specifically a book proving the anti-rational nature of naturalism, of naturalist oneism. Matter and energy is all that is. Start with that book and move on.
Excellent. That's awesome. Now, let's talk about the DVD and the book that we're with here.
Right. Well, Resisting the Green Dragon, again, it's a 12-part lecture series plus a half-hour documentary. I'll mention some of the lectures in it. I've done two of the lectures, one on the false worldview of the Green Movement and another one on threats to liberty and the move toward a global government. We have Dr. Peter Jones, who's a theologian, probably the world's leading expert on the New Age movement and on the revival of ancient Gnosticism as well as of paganism in the world. And he's spoken on rescuing people from the cult of the Green Dragon and on advancing the gospel in a world permeated by environmentalism. We have Dr. Vishal Mangalwadi, who is an Indian philosopher and theologian. He was a disciple of the late Francis Schaeffer, converted under Schaeffer's ministry. He's lectured on Logos versus Mysticism, Environmentalism's Flight from Reason. We have Dr. Michael Ferris, who's the founder of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, as well as of Patrick Henry College. Mike lectured for us on From Captain Planet to Avatar, The Seduction of Our Youth, how the Green Movement uses the entertainment industry, the public school curriculum, the internet, all sorts of different vehicles to promote its propaganda to reach children. Dr. Stephen Hayward, who's a scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and one of the authors of the annual Index of Leading Environmental Indicators. He's a tremendous environmental scientist and economist. He spoke for us on a brief history of environmental exaggerations, myths, and downright lies. And on the big question of global warming, what did we get? We got one of the leading climatologists in America, Dr. David LeGates. He is a climatology professor at the University of Delaware. He's a Delaware state climatologist. He wrote for us, or spoke for us, on putting out the dragon's fire on global warming. He shows the scientific evidence that although human emissions of greenhouse gases probably do have some minor effect on global temperature, that effect is minuscule compared with the natural effects, and it's certainly not going to be harmful. It's not a good reason to spend trillions of dollars fighting it when those dollars could be spent helping the poor instead. Then there are other lecturers here as well.
Where can people find this?
They can go to resistingthegreendragon.com, resistingthegreendragon.com. They can see about the DVD series. They can see about the book. They can hear a trailer from the DVD series and a promotional video. They can sign up to get a link to where they can hear a 12-minute longer promotional video as well.
Okay, and where, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, you know, they heard something here and, you know, they're like, you know what, I want to ask him a question. Can they do that?
Yeah, they can write to me, calvin@cornwallalliance.org. That's Calvin, C-A-L-V-I-N, @cornwallalliance.org. And they can come to our website, cornwallalliance.org. We have a lot of papers there, monographs, scientific and economic and theological monographs. We have brief articles that they can see. And we publish a weekly electronic newsletter. Only comes out once a week. We do not do a bunch of fundraising through it. There's a little spot where you can click to donate if you want to, but we're not browbeating people to give us money. It is instead a highly informative and educational newsletter, because that's our real goal, is to educate people. They can sign up for that for free, very, very quick and easy. Just enter an email address in the sign-up line and they're done. This is all put together so that it is useful directly for Sunday schools. We've got 13 sessions, and that's a typical Sunday school quarter. Can be used in homeschools, small groups, Bible studies. It frankly is perfectly appropriate as curriculum in Christian college courses as well as Christian high schools. And I'm a former seminary professor, and I taught environmental ethics as well as other courses in social ethics. I would use this course, or this material, as part of the curriculum in that sort of a course.
Well, everyone, what I can see, this just looks great, and I just want to encourage you to go check that out at, where is the website again?
ResistingTheGreenDragon.com.
I didn't know it was com or org, that's why I had you say it.
Yeah, ResistingTheGreenDragon.com.
Great. Well, hey, Cal, I really appreciate you doing this.
Great. Thank you very much, Jason. I appreciate your work, and especially that you're reaching out to that 18 to 40 age group. That group is really searching for answers. I see a lot of genuine curiosity, genuine inquisitiveness. They need to know that there are solid answers in the Bible, God's Word. They need to know that there are people who have studied issues like this carefully and can give a properly biblical answer on them.
Well, I appreciate it, and I actually look forward to continuing this conversation.
Great, Jason. I'll be glad to.
We'll keep in touch. So, everyone, do not keep silent.
Listening to Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.